Hello, everyone. This is Carlos Morales, and this is the Libertarian Atheist Podcast. Now, normally, I don't just do random episodes regarding the latest news events. Rather, I generally try to wait back and let the facts come through to try to make sense of the horrendous events, especially those that have happened lately. But in a world plagued by so much misinformation, I find it necessary to talk about this latest terrorist attack. In the wake of this horrendous attack in Orlando that led to over 100 gay men shot, every pundit is jumping to spin their views on the topic. Hillary's already blaming a lack of gun control, even though the man passed multiple tests and licenses. And Trump is blaming our lack of calling out one another to government officials. You know, the same people who show up to the wrong person's house for drug raids and kills their dog. Now, undoubtedly, the topic of Islam is being brought up by some, and for good reason. The man was a practicing Muslim. He came from Afghani parents, and his views regarding homosexuals aren't in opposition to various Islamic texts, but rather they are a projection of them. Now, some may call me out for having bad tastes by talking about this subject so soon. But if I have to wait a couple months after every Islamic terrorist attack to discuss the issues of Islam, I wouldn't be able to bring it up until the last Muslim remained. And of course, all of the same dribble and drooping from the media that's regurgitated ad nauseum on every damn attack is going on. And with that continued misinformation, you have to push forward at least a little bit of truth. Salon has taken to blaming the attack on toxic masculinity and blaming our culture. Yes, ours, the American Western one that has some of the most liberal views on homosexuality in the world. Salon blames our toxic masculinity on why this coward decided to blow off a bunch of people's heads. The article titled Overcompensation Nation compares the kind of personality quirks that would lead to a man brutally murdering 50 or so people with the folks from Duck Dynasty who grow their beards long, and considers them analogous. Of course, no one would be shocked by this publication releasing such retarded information, because that's what they do. It's Salon. And of course, there isn't one mention of the Quran, Hadiths, or any tenets of Islam which condone the kinds of behaviors that this murderer committed. Moreover, they go on to state that guns rights advocates, who suggest that maybe if the majority of men were carrying guns in that particular club, there could have been a little bit less death. In fact, they stated to even assume such a thing is a product of toxic masculinity. And it goes along with deep insecurity and gender weirdness that treats phallic symbols like magical totems. Now, though I do enjoy a good witty analogy, in the face of such tragedy, to simply undermine the very real fact that bringing a gun to a gunfight can sometimes be a good idea, well, that's preposterous. To state that a person shouldn't have the right to defend themselves so that we could all end up being part of the shooting gallery, that is toxic. To assume that cops would come to protect us, like they did in Orlando when it took them 3 hours to finally take out the shooter, that is toxic. Now, I won't say that the hatred of the feminine or the association of gay men and femininity didn't play a part in this man's actions, but the very fact that no one at Salon would categorically simply state that Islam is inherently anti-feminine, anti-human, and therefore the catalyst for so many of these attacks is simply unfathomable. For a side note, let's take a look at what the Prophet thought about homosexuality. According to one of the 6 major hadiths written after the life of Muhammad, Muhammad stated, "Whoever you find committing the sin of the people of Lot, kill them, both the one who does it and the one to whom it is done." The people of Lot, who Allah destroyed according to the Quran, were adulterers, fornicators, homosexuals, the kind of people in that Orlando club. Now, though there are schools of Islamic law that disagree, even the more liberal Hanafi school believes that Muslim blood can be spilled for adultery and leaving their religion. Moving on, let's get back to the central problem, which is belief systems. I found it rather quaint that many people's first response was to say, not all Muslims. Islam doesn't justify this. Islam is a religion of peace and other popular myths, which are in opposition to the facts. And there is little doubt that Omar, the Orlando terrorist, was in fact a Muslim and was following Islamic tenets. New reports show that Omar was a member of an online group run by former U.S. Marine Marcus Dwayne Robertson, who now goes by Abu Taba. Robertson leads the Fundamental Islamic Knowledge Group in Florida. Robertson worked for Omar Abdel Rahman, the blind sheik, who was involved in the 1993 World Trade Center attack as a bodyguard, and now runs the Islamic sanctuary he started in Florida. During the time Robertson served as a bodyguard to Omar Abdel Rahman, he led the group of Ali Baba and the 40 Thieves as they robbed post offices, banks, and homes at gunpoint. Robertson now has thousands of followers who have listened to him preach against homosexuality. Omar has multiple connections to undesirable characters, as he was with radical Imam Shafiq Rahman of the Islamic Center of Fort Pierce just two evenings prior to massacre at Pulse, according to the Washington Post. Both his ex-wife and an ex-coworker have come out and publicly described Omar as a violent man. His wife, Sitara Yousafzai, told the Washington Post that she left him because he repeatedly beat her for trivial matters, such as unfinished laundry. Daniel Gilroy, the former coworker, described Omar as a person full of anger who would routinely talk about his desire to massacre black people, Jewish people, women, and gays. I wonder where he learned that. The media and politicians' reactions to many of these facts is mostly hashtag gun control now, while ignoring that there's 11 Muslim countries where gay people are murdered by the government for simply being homosexual. And the United States has a very cozy relationship with one of them, Saudi Arabia. I've done episode after episode discussing Islam, from the history of the religion and its founder, to discussions about the public views held by many Muslims, the startling facts about the Islamic refugee crisis in Europe, and why education liberates while war annihilates. And no matter how often I bring up that last point, that the answer to violent religion is not all-out war, I'm still thrown into a camp with George Bush, Dick Cheney, and Trump, three men I have nothing in common with. Nevertheless, I will not cower when called a bigot, but rather demonstrate that the most bigoted belief systems need to be admonished for what they are. As an atheist, as in one who doesn't hold to the delusions propagated by liars, and a philosophical libertarian anarchist, again, one who doesn't hold to the delusions propagated by liars, I yearn to help propel society forward so that we look at the Abrahamic God the way most look at Zeus, and look at the belief in statism to be as fanciful and as ridiculous as sun worship. To do that, we must not, as Sam Harris so wonderfully puts it, sleepwalk towards Armageddon. When we ignore principles and choose to be guided by the whims of emotions and the appeal towards relativism, we set ourselves up to be controlled, manipulated, and aimless. Those who seek to control seek to have us constantly confused so that we must wait tooth and nail for what to believe next and what to do next, removing our ability to think and choose for ourselves. Indolence rather than intrigue, cowardice over integrity, and nihilism over virtue. Now, what does this have to do with the topic of Islam and politics? Well, frankly, everything. It's obvious to any thinking person that this religion is horrendous, and that beliefs guided by jihad, martyrdom, blasphemy, and apostasy reliably lead to murder and oppression. Moreover, it's obvious to any thinking person that a dogma based on unquestioning beliefs and authority, pride in the unearned, admiration for murderers, and the damning and destruction of unbelievers also reliably leads to tyranny. The first was Islam. The second is statism. If these horrendous traits seem analogous, that's because they are. This is a point where myself and the likes of Sam Harris differentiate. For I admonish vile dogmas, whether they worship a god or government. And the track record of those who worship the latter has been horrific. What does it mean to sleepwalk towards Armageddon? It means continuing to believe that beliefs hold little sway when it comes to the actions committed by people. When a boy from Britain decides that his best course of action is to blow himself up and kill innocent little girls and little boys in the name of Allah, he doesn't do so because he just has this innate hankering for suicide bombings. He does so because of a belief system. When an Israeli bombs a small village of Palestinians, it's a belief system that justifies it. Most people truly believe what they are doing is good, and it is the belief system that denotes what that good thing is. Some religions work in stronger contradiction to our innate desires than others. Statism, as is displayed in America, seems to require as much as 13 years of forced indoctrination, and to make a soldier, another couple months of soul-sucking and defiance-killing boot camp. For other religions, the prevention of sexual contact and pleasure, the consistent admonishment of individuality, the subjugation of female choice, and the constant worship of a greedy, jealous, masochistic, and tyrannical false god is what is necessary to ensure complete obedience. When people claim that we simply act and then make up justifications afterwards, they are propagating the cynical, barbaric view of humanity, that suicide bombers are simply looking for an excuse. It assumes that everyone is as disingenuous as a journalist who propels this message. It reminds me of people who say anyone who makes a public display of sympathy is simply virtue signaling, whereby the assumption is that everyone is as sociopathic as them, and that all demonstrations of actual emotion and empathy towards others is a strategic move to gain status. In order to move away from toxic beliefs, we must respect their power and trust that people who believe these ideas actually believe in them. Let us take these people by their word and then look at what these belief systems actually entail. Simply calling out people for being extremists of a particular faith is not enough, for extremism is simply a bad belief system taken to its logical conclusion. Of course, there are people who are Islamic who will not be for the actions of Omar, who don't think that Jews shouldn't be trusted, who don't want to kill gays. And there are also Muslims who drink whiskey and eat pork chops. The issue is, this moderate view is merely a reaction to the benefits of modernity and not due to the merits of philosophical classical liberalism. They rely on secular values as the basis for the reinterpretation of their holy texts. But they demand that we respect the divinity of an abhorrent text that they claim is inspired by the creator of the goddamn universe. By claiming that such a horrendous book holds merit as empowered by the divine, by doing that we open the door to continued extremism by those who take literature to its logical conclusion. Could someone say that by simply pointing out that the intolerance found in the Muslim world is backed by their texts, that I am in a sense instigating fear in Westerners and are calling out for a continuation of war in the Middle East? Possibly, but they'd be dead wrong, because there are no political solutions to social problems. By continuing to ignore the deep issues with religious faith, or by simply rationalizing it by stating, some people need religion because life is hard, we will continue to allow for the kind of attacks that we saw in Orlando just a week ago, to continue again and again and again. The idea that bliss, self-transcendence, love, and hope. That all those things must be tied and anchored to superstition, religious faith, and dogma is merely a myth that is propagated by those who want to continue the domestication of human beings. Community, love, art, and morality can be had free and clear from dogma. For religious fanaticism works to prevent the truest expressions of those values. It is only the disingenuous and misguided who would call those against the tyranny of the mind and body bigots. I refuse to give in to the demands of those who would have us keep quiet as to respect beliefs which seek to destroy. Instead of religion, let us reason. Instead of fascism, let us have freedom. Instead of faith, let us think.